Thank you for joining us today. For more information about the church, campus locations, service times, and more, visit ecoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at ecoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Can we stand to our feet and give honor to our senior pastors, Pastor Geary and Miss Christy? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Come on, we're thankful for their sacrifice. This year is year number 20. Isn't that incredible? Amen, amen. You can be seated. And over 20 years, started with six people off of Adair Street into what God has built, a thriving, spirit-filled church in Ocoee, Florida. And we are thankful and blessed for incredible leadership. We want you tonight to come back at 6 o'clock, because I'm telling you what, it's gonna be a hoot, as they would say in Northwest Florida. It is going to be funny. It's gonna be a time of great fellowship, a time of honoring and celebrating what God's done over the years. You might find something out that you've never known before about Pastor Geary. And so make sure you're 6 o'clock, bring a covered dish with you. The church will provide the meat. We want you to bring a covered dish as we celebrate Pastor Geary and Miss Christy. And every Pastor Appreciation Sunday, we always have a special guest that comes in and preaches. And we've been trying to get this special guest for many years, but it was because God was holding it off for year number 20. And it is incredible. 20 years ago, Pastor Carl Stevens, he pastors a small church on the east side of town called Faith Assembly of God, really struggling church, just barely getting by. But 20 years ago, he called Pastor and asked him to come to Glad Tidings. He'll tell a little bit of the story. But Pastor Carl is very dear to our family. And my grandfather pastored at the church that Pastor Carl grew up in when Pastor Carl was a teenager. And then my father also pastored at that church and pastored Pastor Carl's mother. And we're all from Delwood, Florida. And man, it is, if you look too quick, you're gonna miss it. But can we make Pastor Carl Stevens feel welcome as he comes and preaches the word today? Amen.
Well, praise God. It's so good to be here, and he's right. I seldom leave home, our home church, except for very, very, very special people. So it's a delight for my wife and I to be here today. And when I said yes to being here, that was before I knew I was going to be in four services. And so I guess it's too late to back out now, but it brings back memories where we were in four services years ago. And boy, that fourth one, wow. Anyway, a lot of people got saved in it. I even got saved one time. But it is an incredible joy to be here and to celebrate, boy, your pastor and his wife, Miss Christy, and their family. This guy is, well, let me read you a scripture before I get emotional, then I'll go back to him. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race set or marked out for us." And that's for all of us. Let us run with perseverance the race set or marked out for us. And so, yes, 20-something years ago, there was a race marked or set out for your pastor and his wife. And I am so glad that they have run this race with perseverance or endurance. Well, the word or the meaning of perseverance or endurance means this: it is persistence in doing something despite difficulties or delay or opposition in achieving success. We're not sitting here today in this wonderful atmosphere with a great crowd. We're not sitting here today without there having been some opposition along the way. I want you to know that. And I want you to to understand something today. I really don't really myself understand this. I don't understand why God loves you folks so much. But I'm telling you, the proof of it is that he has given you this pastor and his wife. I'm just telling you, God doesn't, well, I started to say God loves everybody, but some people he just seems to really love. So I appreciate you celebrating them and honoring them, because if you don't, God may give you someone one day that you wish you had celebrated him. So, but no, they're not going to, they're, hopefully they'll never leave. Well, we go way, way, way back. Would you believe that he used to be my babysitter when I was just a little baby? You wouldn't believe that? Well, I wouldn't either. I was about 12, and his dad pastored our little church welcome assembly. I think everybody was welcome. I'm not really sure. It was a long time ago. But he pastored it, and I could go on and on and say so many wonderful things about his father, who I dearly loved and really touched my life back then. And I remember one day being outside at the church, and I don't know what the occasion was, but I remember seeing your pastor walk up to me. He was just a little fella and blonde hair, cute as he could be. He's still kind of cute. And but anyway, that one's going to get old before 4 years is over. But I thank God for that. And then all the way up to now, if I could never have imagined in my 12-year-old mind that that little toddler that I saw that day and looked at and just thought, boy, that's a cute little kid, and the pastor's son. And I could not have imagined all these years later our lives being woven together like they have been. It was some 20 so years ago when this church was open, and the former pastor, I loved him. He was a great guy. He was old school, and there's nothing wrong with old school when old school is needed, but it was a new day. And we had a great church and a great opportunity here for somebody. As presbyter at the time, I thought to myself, who is going to take this church? We've got like five people. I hear now six. We've got five or six people. We've got an old building. I came over here. I was in the building on a couple of occasions. And so when I called him up, I was like, man, this is a golden opportunity. You got five people. You got an old building. I don't think you're going to get paid, but it's a golden opportunity. You got to look 20 years down the road. You'll be in four services or five or whatever they are around here, and you're going to be doing really good. Just hang in there and say yes for me, all right? Because I got to find somebody to take this church, and I'm having a hard time. And so finally, they said yes. I want you to appreciate Miss Christie, because I can only imagine her sitting in the car as they drove up to this property, her saying, yes, this is it. I can see it now. No, I don't know what she said or what she thought, but she said yes in spite of what was going through her mind. And she let him come, and they both showed up. And I am sure, having been married to a pastor's wife now for a while, I am sure there's been some times along the way that he may have even said, honey, I think maybe we'll just leave. But she helped him to work through that, talk to him. There have been plenty of times my wife has, all right? There have been a few times I wanted to leave Faith Assembly, all right? So my wife would say, well, let's talk. I wasn't in the mood for talking, but I did it anyway, all right? So here it is, 20 years later, and God has done some incredible things. You're a part of a miracle. Do you realize that? You are a part of a miracle. And we rejoice in that. And we thank you for being here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Two of my favorite scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, and I'm going to pray after this. Verse 36, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you for this wonderful pastor's wife. Lord, and I thank you for every person that calls Glad Tidings their church, their family. Lord, I pray your blessing on this ministry. I pray that it would continue to abound and flourish and just make the incredible impact it is making in this city. And we give you thanks and praise for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I forgot to give you my title. It's just plain, don't quit. All right? Don't quit. Persevere. Endure. Don't quit. Persevere. Endure. Well, this verse, let's go back to it. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Now, you have got to, whether you're a pastor or no matter what you do, you got to have confidence in God's ability to use you. And I'm telling you, some of you may not have any confidence in yourself, but it's not just in yourself. It is in God's ability to work through you. And God can use every one of you in this building. So if you're like, they've offered me a higher position and at work, but I don't know if I can take it. Listen, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And if you've got the gifting, you need to step into it. Amen. So that confidence in who God can use. And I know that they had to have confidence, a measure of confidence. They didn't come here and say, well, we'll go ahead and take the church and maybe in 20 years, we'll double it, have 10 people. No, they didn't have that attitude. Their attitude was, God can do all things. God can turn this around. God can use this church greatly in this city and all of Orlando. And that's exactly what he is doing. Someone may say, well, do the will of God and you'll be rewarded. And I believe in that. But let me add to it. However, between doing the will of God and being rewarded, sometimes there is the need of perseverance or endurance. Sometimes you run right into a miracle, but other times you run right into a wilderness, all right? Just like the Jews when they left Egypt. Well, there was a shorter way to get to the promised land, but they ended up going through the wilderness, and that wilderness was to teach them some things about themselves. It was to teach them a dependence on God. And so some of you are in that place. You find yourself in a wilderness. Well, let me tell you, God's going to bring you right through that wilderness if you make the right decisions and honor God and persevere and endure. Well, there's things inside of you that have yet to come out in fruition of the will of God. Maybe looking around this room today, there are some of you here that have never, ever been hurt. You have never been hurt. Therefore, you as a believer have never had to forgive anybody. Do you realize if you've never been hurt, you would have no reason to forgive somebody. So you don't even know the manifestation of forgiveness in your life as a result of that. So if you're sitting here and you haven't been hurt, I want you to do us a favor. I want you to come to the altar at the end. We're going to find somebody to hurt you, all right? So that you can choose to forgive them and experience the joy of choosing to forgive somebody in your pain. Yes, they hurt you, but you are going to choose forgiveness. And when you do, you experience the joy and the benefit of forgiving them. Well, I wasn't always the best presbyter, but one of the great things I did was choose this couple. And I haven't always, in my time of being pastor, I have not always made the right choice. But years ago, I made a choice, and I knew it was God. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I knew that I may get some pushback, but I knew I had to obey God rather than man in this particular case. And it involved our choir. We had a large choir years ago, and I made the decision, and I went in to the choir after I let this staff member go. And I went into the choir and I said, listen, I know you may not understand, but I believe with all my heart I've heard from God. Well, that week I got an email from one of the choir members, and it said, you didn't hear from God, you heard from the devil. Ooh. I mean, my flesh rose to the surface. I wanted to email them back. Now I've heard from the devil. And so that's what I wanted to tell them. I mean, I was so riled up and I couldn't believe it. I mean, even preachers get in the flesh once in a while, all right? So I said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. She'll be passing that email around, forwarding it to everybody. I can't do that. And that's not what God wants me to do. So I emailed her back after I settled down, prayed through, and got in the right spirit. Yes, it caused me pain. I didn't like it. It hurt. Yes, it hurt me. She hurt me. And so I want you to know that. She hurt me, all right? And so then when I got over it and I forgave her, I emailed her back. And I said, look, please forgive me. Can you imagine? I'm asking her forgiveness for her calling me a devil. And so anyway, I asked her forgiveness and I said, I know you don't understand. To be honest, I don't fully understand myself. But please forgive me for causing you pain, because more than who was right was the benefit of God for both of us to experience the joy and the release of forgiveness through our lives. Well, you're not always, when you obey God, going to have every day a great day. You're not always going to have that. It is going to produce something, though, in your life, those difficulties, those moments of pain and emotional hurt. It produces something in your life. Endurance, perseverance will rise to the surface. And the Bible says you need that. Every one of us in this room, we need it, because it produces character, and character produces hope in our lives, so that we won't quit. We'll keep on going. Say amen, everybody. All right. So church, don't quit. Well, let me tell you how this verse or these verses look. Let me give you some points on it. Number one, God gives us a promise or a call, as he did this pastor and his wife. He gives us a promise or a call. Number two, sometimes there is a delay. Now, there are a few times it seems like the miracle just comes automatically. But most of the time, there appears to be a delay. And things usually or can even get worse than what they were. You think the devil's just going to let us ride into the promised land unopposed? No. No matter what you are pressing toward, the devil may fight you. He may even use somebody to try to stop you. One of the saddest things I heard when I was older was a thing that my dad told me. He says, well, son, I was called to preach when I was about 20 years old, and somebody hurt me in the church, and he fell away from church. Can you believe that? That always was so sad to me, to think that my own father was called into the ministry, and because someone hurt him, he got out of church and for 40 years lived in sin until a couple years before he died, and he came back to Christ and is in heaven, and I'll see him again one day. Praise God. But it's still sad. How many people could have been won to Christ through his ministry if he had just said yes and forgiven the one that caused the pain? Well, don't think the devil is not going to oppose you. Yes, he will. Number three, you endure when there's opposition. You keep enduring. You keep going. How are you going to do that? Well, how? You keep worshiping God. You've got to keep worshiping God right in the middle of your pain. That is what Job did when all of his children died. He fell on his knees and he began to worship. That is what David did when his son from Bathsheba first died. He went to the house of God and lifted his hands and started to worship. And you're going to make it too. When you and I face pain on the journey, we keep worshiping. You keep clinging to the promise of God. You keep going on. You resist the enemy. You keep praying. That's what you do. I thank God for the fact that you can just keep on praying. Well, the Bible, Jesus himself gives us something about this. He says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So Jesus is saying in this journey, sometimes the pain and adversity, he says, keep on praying and you will not lose heart. What does lose heart mean? It means to faint. It means to cave in. It means to just melt away. You know, I have seen, I'm sure around here it has happened also, that people go through something and the next thing you know, they just melt away. They're gone. And you're like, where's so-and-so? Well, they just slipped away. That's so painful and unnecessary. Don't lose heart. Don't melt away. Don't quit. Say amen. All right. So we keep on praying. We keep on believing. Number four, you walk eventually into God's reward prepared for you. You are part of this miracle of 20 years. I am astounded. I am amazed. I am so proud of this couple for enduring, for not fainting, for not caving in, for not melting away, coming back to me after 5 months and say, Pastor, this is just too hard. We only have 10 people there, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I know, but anyway, one day it's going to be really good. I would have had to said that by faith, all right, but they've hung in there, and by the grace of God, they've walked into reward, but guess what? This is not the end of the story. Thank God. God is going to continue to use this church to touch not just Okoye, but the city of Orlando. And so God bless each and every one of you for being part of that miracle. You know, sometimes you could say, even though you shouldn't, but by human standards, it appears that God sometimes is slow. Joseph was about 17 years old when he had a dream from God. And it was 14 torturous years later. He was rejected by family. Oh, talk about hurt. He was rejected by his family. He was lied about by a wicked woman. He was thrown into a dungeon unjustly. He was betrayed by two people he interpreted their dream, or one that he interpreted their dream. And so here he is, thinking no doubt at times, is this going to be the end of my story? Will my dream ever come true? And yet there's no indication in the word that he caved in, gave up, melted away. No, what is in the story is that one day he got up a slave in a dungeon, walked out of that place and went to bed that night on a comfortable bed. The ruler, second ruler in Egypt. Tell me that isn't a reward, all right? And you say, well, why did he have to go through 14 years? He was being prepared for great things by God's sake. Well, we don't like the preparation time sometimes, but it's the preparation time that makes us the man or the woman that we are, of character and integrity, and to be what God wants us to be so he can use us on great levels. Well, sometimes the delay is a divine appointment. Other times, it is human direction. Just like this morning, my wife was coming over here to this service, and I text her. I misunderstood. I thought we were going to the other campus. I text her the address to the other campus. And so she's texting me back. Now I don't know where to go. And I'm like, don't blame me, honey. I probably caused you not to have an accident by giving you the wrong information, because God works everything together for good. See, I'm getting out of trouble here. Even as I preach, I'm making a way out, all right? So anyway, now God wants us to stop doing something in the wilderness. That he wants us to stop maybe doing several things. But one of the great things he wants us to stop doing is complaining. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Because we've all had a tendency to do that. Even preachers, but we don't in the pulpit. All right, so no, sir. We wait till Monday. All right. God help us. But we've all complained. We've all said, God, why? And God said, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to do something through your life that one day you are going to stand in amazement of. And others are going to look at your life and be inspired to keep going because you kept going. Well, you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Quickly, let me give you a couple things here. Number one, perseverance exercises the muscles of the soul, your will, your mind, your feelings, so that they come in line with the word of God and you don't go the other direction. No, you keep pressing on. And number two, perseverance conditions us to choose God's way over short-term, easy ways. Every time we'd probably choose the easy way. But the easy way, I tell you, many times, maybe most times, is not God's way, all right? Perseverance sends our roots, our spiritual roots, deeper into the ground. Why? Everybody that knows trees knows this, that if it rains every day or almost year round, that trees, the root system won't go deep into the soil. And when a storm comes, because their roots are on the surface, that tree will be blown over. But it needs a dry time every now and then. It needs a wilderness to cause those roots to be sent further into the soil of life and to sustain it when the storm comes through or the hurricane blows through. The storm or the tree still stands. And you and I need the wildernesses we walk through so that our spiritual roots will grow deep into the soil of God's word. And we will stand when the next storm comes. See, we keep going because we've walked through this wilderness and God has built some things within us. Well, God help us. All right, let me give you another scripture. It's found in 2 John chapter 8. And it says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. I want to receive a full reward. Church, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't stop believing. Don't die spiritually in the wilderness. There are some of you in this building, you're struggling today. You're going through a wilderness and you are asking God why. Maybe you even complained a little bit. That's normal. All right, unfortunately, it's normal. But anyway, God is speaking to you this morning, saying, I'm building something in your life. I am building character in your life. I'm causing you to endure so you can be an inspiration to others. So church, don't quit. Don't stop believing. Don't die in the wilderness. Well, our life is shaped a lot by culture, unfortunately, in some areas. years ago, and I'm one of those that I get really emotionally involved in a movie, if it's a good movie, or, you know, I'm there. I've even cried in the theater. My family knows I can't help it. Anyway, I'm just spiritual like that. Anyway, and so I cry. But years ago, watching 30-minute sitcoms that really are only about 20 minutes, take the ads out, in 20 minutes or so, you have a problem. There are people involved, and by the end of the 20 or so minutes, the problem is solved. Whew, that's a good program. Now, years ago, they used to do this. I don't think they do it anymore. But years ago, I'd get all involved in a program, and there was a problem, and there were people involved, and it was great emotion. And at the very end, you know what it said? It said, "To be continued." I'd about flip out. I'm like, "What? You mean to tell me I've got to wait a whole week to find out what happens?" I already knew what was going to happen. It was going to turn out good, all right? But to wait a week? I don't want to wait a week. My flesh rose up. Yet, God is asking us at times not to wait a week, but you may be in this a little longer. You may be in it a year or 5 years. You may have to wait 10 years, but you already know it's going to turn out good. You already know that because of Romans 8:28. It's going to turn out good. The story is true. I understood it to be true that there were two ladies many, many years ago. One, they both had unsaved husbands. One got down on her knees 1 week, prayed for her husband to be saved. The next week, he gave his heart to Christ. Miracle. Everybody's rejoicing. Another lady, she prayed. Same thing with faith. Her husband didn't get saved the next week, nor the next, nor the next, nor the next, nor the next. 20 years goes by. That rascal is still unsaved, but she still gets down and prays. Now I ask you, which one has more faith? Which one? How much faith does it take to get down on your knees and pray one more time for an unsaved husband? You wouldn't do it if you didn't believe he's eventually going to get saved. You wouldn't do it. Why get down on your knees and even pray if you don't really believe it? Well, some of you may find yourself at a place where, you know, I'd rather take this. We used to have testimony services when Pastor Howell, his dad was my pastor. We had testimony services. If that first lady would have got up and said, "I prayed last week, he got saved this week," everybody would have, "Oh, that's a good testimony." The other lady gets up a few minutes later and says, I prayed for my husband, he hadn't got saved yet. And it's been weeks now, but I'm still praying." Everybody, but ooh, sorry. That's not very good testimony. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is a great testimony to the goodness and faithfulness of God. Well, I thank you for honoring this couple. To honor someone that is worthy of honor brings blessing on your life. It brings miracles. See, Jesus said he couldn't do very many miracles in his hometown of Nazareth because he was not honored there. So you honoring this couple can bring miracles even to your own life. So I pray to God that you would continue to honor them. If you don't, you might end up with somebody one day that you wish you had honored them. All right, so church, don't quit. Don't quit. In the wilderness, stay at it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Bow your heads with us, please. Father, touch our hearts. Minister to our lives, and I give you praise for it. While every head is bowed, please. Every head is bowed. And I'm going to ask you a question. In this service today, no doubt there are those sitting here that you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As a pastor of many years, like your pastor, there have been times that I have said, when I saw someone go through such a gut-wrenching, difficult time, I've said, I don't know how people make it through times like this without God. And I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, I hope not for you, but chances are very good. You're going to face some hurt and pain in life. And you're going to need God. Why don't you turn to Him now? Why don't you say yes to God today? So that He comes into your life and changes you on the inside. So when the storm comes, you're going to turn to Him and you're going to stand. So across this building, if that's you, you need Christ, you need forgiveness, you need to get right with God, I want to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up right now? Just slip it up. If that's you, you have that need. Slip your hand up. God bless you, sir. Others. There's others in this service. You need God. You need Christ. You need to turn to Him with all your heart. Anyone else? Jesus. Now let me ask one more question. You're here. And you're in that wilderness. You're in that place of delay. And you're holding on, but you're like, God, I need your help today. I feel like I'm drowning at times, God. But I believe you can help me. If that's you, you're going through something, lift your hand. Why don't you just lift it up? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you guys. Anyone else? Anyone else? God sees, God knows. Now, we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. If you lifted your hand, you needed Christ. As I pray, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to pray with me and say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Change me, Lord. I give my life to you. And those of you that need His help in the wilderness, as we pray, you let God touch your life and minister strength to you. You walk out of this place knowing that victory, reward, promise fulfilled is coming your way. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for touching, Lord, the one and the different ones in this room that may need you as Lord and Savior of their lives. I pray, God, you would forgive them. I pray they cry out to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, cleanse their heart. And Lord, for those in this room that need you, God, help them through this wilderness. God, help them build that endurance, that perseverance in their life. God, I pray that they lift their hands in worship and adoration and they would say, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what. I will not quit. God bless you.